And I can't comment something I really don't know anything about. So.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Lina and Waleed Al-Hathloul, sister and brother of the jailed Saudi activist Lujain. She has been imprisoned in Saudi Arabia for more than a year for her fearless advocacy for women's rights. Happy birthday to Tamari Astidio. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Gozder, Nareen Sheikh. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up next on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette Executive Director Emily McLean joins Abe and Joe to talk about the plague of abortion bans coming out of the Old South.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Wolf at the Door, a grim Latino fairy tale produced by the Milagro Theater in Portland every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from Thursday, May 2nd through May 26th. Deep in the woods, a young wife finds the strength to stand up to her abusive husband when he forces a pregnant woman to stay in their home against her will. This production is presented as a National New Play Network Rolling World premiere. Again, that's Wolf at the Door every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. from May 3rd through May 26th at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning.
This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
It is.
90.7 KBOO.
Yes, that's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris. The number to call, 231-8187. You want to be serious.
I do, yeah.
We have a very serious... I can't joke around or anything.
No, you can joke around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can joke around.
All right.
I do want to be serious today because we're going to talk about a very serious topic, and that is the series of anti-abortion legislation that is coming out of the states of the old Confederacy, in particular Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, and Missouri,
and just Ohio.
And Ohio, yeah, who maybe is an honorary member of the old Confederacy.
I actually don't think it's a regional phenomenon.
No, but I think that it's concentrated in that region.
I agree.
With a whole bunch of other very toxic trends in American political discourse.
No, in fact, I think what's being revealed right now is that the degree of toxicity that comes out of having this peculiar presidency.
I think I'll go with that. Sure. That toxicity has been with us for a long time and isn't going away anytime soon.
No.
What Trump's presidency has done, and to a certain extent what the Tea Party movement did under Obama's presidency, was peel the lid off of this vat of toxicity and let it out into the open air.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing now. I'll just summarize a couple of these bills that are coming out of the Old South. The first one to raise temperatures and blood pressure around the country was passed in Georgia. Would essentially amount to a near total ban on abortion. It does make exceptions for rape and incest, but it has a very odd clause and that is that it would persecute women who travel beyond state lines to obtain an abortion. So not only are you, if you're a woman and you happen to be pregnant and you don't want to carry that pregnancy to term and you happen to live in Georgia, this law will follow you wherever you go. And I think that this is an intentionally and blatantly unconstitutional clause in this law. And I'll get to that more in a second. But here's what I mean by that. For example, here in Oregon, it's illegal to gamble, correct? Right?
I don't know.
Right. You can't, gambling is not legal in Oregon. You have to go to a Native American casino if you want to gamble.
Oh, I see what you're
right. But you, Joe, if you wanted, you could pick up and you could go to Las Vegas and you could gamble, right?
Well, of course.
Or the fact that gambling is illegal in Oregon would not follow you to Las Vegas.
No.
Right? This bill in Georgia.
I could just go to McMinnville or something.
You could just go to McMinnville, yeah. But I think you see my point.
Yeah.
This law in Georgia follows women wherever they might want to go to obtain this medical procedure should they desire it. The second bill that really raised some eyebrows was passed in Alabama, and that amounts to what is essentially a blanket ban on abortion in all cases. There are no exceptions for rape and incest. And interestingly, the Alabama bill would not punish women, but punish doctors.
99 years.
With up to 99 years in prison who perform this procedure. This is clever, I think, on the part of the anti-abortionists, because I think you're much more likely to enact a de facto shutdown of abortion if you target physicians rather than patients. Because what physician who wants to continue to operate is going to risk his or her license, right? I'm sure some will, but I imagine a whole lot more won't. This is a direct threat to their livelihood, you know, and that's that people react when you threaten their livelihood, do they not?
They do.
They do. Now, you may have noticed that we got a couple of straight white dudes here talking about abortion.
Well, I guess we're straight.
Well, I'm presuming. I don't know what's in your heart, Joe, and that's okay. Whatever's in your heart is okay, Joe.
Okay, man.
This is okay. It's okay. I want to put that out there too. It's okay for a couple of straight white dudes to talk about abortion, but I don't think that gives this issue the perspective that it demands. So, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined by Emily McLean, the executive director of Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette, who's going to help further illuminate this legislation and what it means for the future of reproductive freedom here in the United States.
And I'm going to be arguing in between the lines here that essentially what this Trump administration is doing is actually creating a fascist phenomena, the fascist state. And it's doing it in a variety of ways. I mean, it ranges from the craziness of not liking wind power, that is, being afraid of windmills,
right,
to this business of restricting women's rights.
Yes. These bills that are, in some cases, laws now, that are coming out of the southern states are what are colloquially known as heartbeat bills, which means they prohibit abortion once a fetal heartbeat can be detected. And this can be as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Now, there are all sorts of complications that follow from this. First of all, most women who are pregnant don't even know it until much more than 6 weeks have passed. Secondly, and this is, I think, one of the largest ironies about the whole anti-choice movement, the whole forced childbirth movement, is that there are lots of living, breathing children out there with heartbeats about whom these folks don't seem to care much at all. But if you happen to be a fetus and you have a heartbeat, my God, the world shall screech to a halt to protect you. So ironies abound in this. What's interesting, I find, about the Alabama legislation in particular is that it does away with that canard that carves out exceptions for women who are pregnant as a result of rape or incest. What I believe, and I think many of our listeners may disagree with me, many may agree with me, that at bottom, at root, the forced childbirth movement is less about the sanctity of life than it is about controlling the bodies of women. And when conservative Christians, and a lot of the forced childbirth movement is made up of conservative Christians. When they talk about exceptions for rape and incest, what they're really doing, I think, is showing their hand. They're saying, well, in these cases where the pregnancy is not the woman's fault, You know, when you know, she didn't ask to be raped. She didn't ask for her dad or her uncle or whomever to molest her. Okay, we'll carve out an exception there. And like I said, that just shows their hand. If she just happens to be out there having sex of her own volition, for her own reasons, with partners of her own choosing, at times and places of her own choosing, well then, she deserves what she gets, which is to be forced to carry a child to its full term and deliver it, whether she wants to or not.
Well, there's even another kind of irony, which is there is no system in place in the United States to take care of these children who would be forced to be born.
No. It is another of the ironies on top of ironies that the proponents of the forced child birth movement, by and large, oppose things like, and I realize I'm painting with a broad brush here, oppose things like universal child care that would help provide for these kids who are born to mothers who didn't want to carry them to term. That would seem to be the logical extension of this mindset. If you're so against abortion, if you're so against female bodily autonomy, if you're so in favor of the sanctity of life, well, why aren't you taking care of these lives once they emerge into the world? And if we're going to call a fetus a person at 6 weeks of gestation, why do we celebrate birthdays? Shouldn't we be celebrating conception days? Shouldn't we be celebrating that grand and glorious moment when whichever male happened to conceive this baby, you know, had his big moment, right? Shouldn't we be celebrating that instead? Right? Why a birthday then? If this is the direction we're going in. Yeah, it's silly. So this is what we want to talk about today. What this movement means for the future of reproductive freedom in the United States.
And I actually want to extend this because I believe the kind of fascism that Trump represents is absolutely a model for a system which will be undemocratic, unfair, and particularly oppressive to both persons of color and to women.
Yeah. So joining us now to help further illuminate this topic is Emily McLean. She is the executive director of Planned Parenthood Columbia Willamette. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. And actually, I'm the executive director of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Oregon.
Pardon me.
Arm of Planned Parenthood in Oregon.
Okay, Planned Parenthood Advocates in Oregon. Well, thank you nonetheless for joining us. First of all, let me ask you, tell us a little bit more about these bills coming out of places like Georgia and Alabama and Louisiana, and why we here in Oregon should be concerned about them.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Missouri and Alabama just passed some of the most extreme abortion bans since Roe v. Wade. We have now seen 15 states ban abortion in the first 5 months of 2019. You know, we're looking at Georgia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Mississippi. All of those states have passed six-week bans this year. And, you know, one of our greatest concerns is that already one in three women of reproductive age lives in a state now where abortion could be outlawed if Roe is overturned. So what we're talking about is 25 million people who could be impacted if Roe were to be overturned. So for us, we know that this is not just women in Alabama or folks who can become pregnant in Alabama and an attack on them. This is an attack on everyone. And we know that we have to pay attention to this in Oregon because Oregon is now one of the states that is going to need to be a point of access, and we need to keep it as strong and accessible as possible as other states work to chip away at rights to abortion.
Now, these laws, I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on the radio. These laws appear to be crafted to deliberately be to attract a court challenge and then make their way up the courts to finally to the Supreme Court, where Roe v. Wade will be reevaluated. Is that, you think, the tactic that's going on here?
Yeah, we don't think this is a coincidence. It's not even a thinly veiled attempt. The intention behind these laws is to take them to the Supreme Court, and I think the effort of these politicians in other states that think that they know better than folks who need to access health care, their intention is to chip away, and their goal is to get to the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, we've seen Trump put into the court in the last appointment, for example, a person who seemed to be very, let's put it this way, extremely unpleasant and disrespectful of women. I'm going to keep it mild. And the fact,
to say the least.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that he is also not a great constitutional scholar. What we're seeing is the downgrading in the interest of a particular political right-wing consensus, a particular attempt to create a court in the model that would fit a oddly fundamentalist. I say oddly because there's plenty of fundamentalists who are not into this particular phenomenon, as well as many who are. But it would create a situation where they can actually overturn any amount, any reasonable document, any reasonable ideas forever, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when we saw the name Brett Kavanaugh be put forward last summer, we did everything we could to push back on that nomination because we knew that he had said specifically he would overturn Roe. And he comes from the Federalist Society. He has a long background, actually, as a judge of denying access to abortion and to healthcare services. And we do know that with the state of the Supreme Court, we have to do everything we possibly can in our states to maintain access. And I also just have to say that this is a specific and intentional attack on low-income women and people of color and those who have been systemically denied access to things like healthcare. And when you chip away at abortion rights, abortion doesn't go away. It just becomes less safe. It just becomes dangerous. And that's what we think is so incredibly concerning about these pieces of legislation, is that this is putting people at risk.
Yeah, you know, I'm old enough to remember a time when abortion in Oregon was illegal. And I can remember the weird situations that women found themselves in, where they would meet a doctor on a street corner, hand him, and it was always a him in this particular case, some money, and he would take a woman to somebody's borrowed or rented essentially kitchen, put a sheet on the kitchen table, and perform an abortion without any anesthetics, without any protection, and often without even a modicum of civility and reasonableness in the behavior. And this was normal. This is what you did. And this was during a time when I was in college, and I saw this happening over and over again. The other choice, if you had the money, was you would fly down to Mexico, where you could get a more reasonable, more sanitary, more health-oriented abortion. And so this was a thing that was part of the normative life of sexually active women in that time. And it was horrendous, it was tragic, and it was really, really dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that abortion has been around forever, and the desire to access reproductive health care and the need to access reproductive health care is never going to go away. And abortion is health care. Abortion is a part of the full range of reproductive health care. And honestly, these politicians are also doing this in defiance of the American people who support access to safe and legal abortion. And in fact, it's about 73% of Americans that say they do not want to see Roe overturned. Because of what you just described, women don't want to go backwards. We don't want to take any steps away from safe and legal abortion and access to health care. And in Oregon, luckily, we've done everything we can to codify Roe, to put regulations and laws in place, but we have to do everything we can to create an ironclad network of states where you can access abortion. And as we see these things chipping away, we're not safe in Oregon. We have to keep working, and we can't just rest on our laurels because of what you just described. It's truly a matter of safety and health.
Well, and I think there's, apart from all of that, and I don't mean to put that aside, the fact of the matter is this is a typical example of an attempt to put women, I'm going to put this in the language, you know, put women in their place. i.e. leave them with no real protections in a healthcare system, leave them in a situation where they're totally dominated by men?
We know that one of the greatest determinants of educational success and health is being able to make your own reproductive health decisions. And so we know that it's critical to empower women, to empower everyone, to be able to decide when and whether to become a parent and, you know, what to pursue throughout their life. Yes, it has an incredibly significant impact on someone pursuing a career, and just being able to have basic freedom and liberty to navigate your life and make your own medical decisions. This is clearly an attack on women, and it's clearly an intentional effort to chip away at rights that Americans agree with and don't want to see overturned.
Now, fortunately, we live in Oregon, where Governor Brown recently signed into law a piece of legislation that helps to codify women's freedom to make their own reproductive choices. Can you tell us a little bit more about that law?
Yeah, we're incredibly fortunate to have bold leaders like Governor Kate Brown, and also amazing representatives like Representative Jennifer Williamson, Representatives Julie Fahey, Representative Jeff Barker, State Senator Lori Moniz Anderson. Honestly, the list goes on. I just keep thinking of all these folks that have stepped up for reproductive health care. The new Representative Rachel Prusak. We have folks that have done everything they can down in Salem. And just back in 2017, we passed the Reproductive Health Equity Act that was really landmark legislation that expanded access to reproductive health care, regardless of citizenship, gender identity, or type of income that you have. And it did really safeguard the right to abortion, even if Roe is overturned, which is why so many other states that do have legislatures that are willing to move legislation like that forward are really important right now. And that legislation is coupled with our efforts to ensure access to contraception over the years so that everyone can have access to birth control. It's also on top of us, you know, working really hard to try and make sure we have some of the best sex education laws in the country, although we have a long way to go in terms of implementing those laws across the state of Oregon. But what I would say is we are lucky to live in Oregon, but we are now more important than ever, because we are truly going to be a point of access for individuals who might lose access in states like Alabama or Georgia or Missouri. So, you know, that's why Planned Parenthood is doing everything we can to push back against these laws, and also to make sure that we are fighting back and ensuring access and making sure that our health centers are open across the country and open right here for folks to come no matter what.
Now, because of two major factors, really, one being the election of Donald Trump to the presidency, and secondly, the theft of a Supreme Court seat from his predecessor, Barack Obama, we're looking at a court that is constituted in such a way that the overturning of Roe, or at least a significant modification of Roe, seems imminent. Now, there's a school of thought out there that says that some of the clauses in these bills emerging from places like Alabama and Georgia are specifically designed to be so outrageous that they are going to be kicked up the court to the Supreme Court, where they will be found unconstitutional. But in the course of rendering its decision, the court will then establish new parameters, essentially wiping out Roe and creating conditions in which individual states are able to effectively ban abortion. And the clauses I'm talking about are things like the clause in the Georgia bill that says you can't travel across state lines to get an abortion, or the clause in the Alabama bill that says there are no exceptions for rape and incest. Is that an accurate rundown of these tactics, in your opinion?
I mean, yeah, and you didn't even mention the possibility of doctors being jailed for their job.
Right.
Yeah, I like the 99-year sentences.
Criminalizing medicine, yeah.
Yeah, literally, we're not just criminalizing abortion now, we're criminalizing doctors doing their job. So yes, we have seen incredibly extreme measures placed in these bills, and we know that, like I said earlier, it really is an attempt to quickly get up to the Supreme Court. And I know that there are some folks that think, well, gosh, those things are so extreme, you know, maybe that will be the safeguard. But let's remember that the Donald Trump and Pence administration have put forward incredibly extreme measures using their executive power and their rulemaking authority. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Title 10 gag rule that we've been fighting for the last year, that would have effectively gagged doctors and taken away the guaranteed right and access that, individuals have to accurate information, and said that doctors were not allowed to refer for safe and legal abortion. And it would have taken away the experience of non-directive care, where doctors simply have the ability to share all options with patients so that they can make the best decision for themselves. We've been fighting tooth and nail against that. And so, yes, those measures are extreme. They are intended to move things forward to the Supreme Court. But that shows you the underlying position of these politicians and of these individuals that truly believe that they can chip away at the access that we have right now to safe and legal abortion. And they're doing everything from every angle that they possibly can.
Well, and I have to say that I think this is part of a mystical notion of life itself and of the meaning of life. It is essentially a biblical-based idea. And it is something that is one of the reasons why Trump is surviving in office as the incompetent fool that he is, because he will always, it seems, support this peculiarly mystical reactionary system, which would put women, I don't like the term, but put them in their place, i.e. under subjugation.
Yep. And that's, you know, for us, why we believe we have to be so incredibly vigilant against these laws, and why we're doing everything we can to actually be proactive in Oregon in every way we possibly can. So that's why we pushed back against Measure 101. That's why we defeated ballot Measure 106, the attempted backdoor ban that, let me remind you, did qualify to the ballot in Oregon. We were in the company of West Virginia and Alabama. Those were the three states in 2018 that were voting on access to abortion. And I will also say that last year, you know, we were really proud to support legislation that establishes a maternal mortality and morbidity review committee to address extreme disparities among African-American mothers. And over the past two decades, the maternal mortality rate has doubled, making the United States the only developed nation in the world with an increasing maternal mortality rate, which is absolutely unacceptable and something that just points to what we could actually be working on, supporting women of color, supporting women, supporting folks who are having negative health outcomes that this country could actually be focused on instead of just trying to chip away at abortion rights.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think it's easy for us to feel complacent here in Deep Blue, Oregon about a whole range of topics. One of the reasons we're having this discussion today is because we want to point people to ways in which they can mobilize and push back against this sort of thing. Now, you guys are having an event later on today, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, folks across Oregon should go to stopabortionban.org to find an event near you. I will highlight that there will be a noon rally to stop the abortion ban down at Terry Shrunk Plaza at noon, which is just down on Southwest 3rd and Southwest Madison. And there's also a big gathering happening in Eugene at the Wayne Morris Federal Courthouse. And I know that there are gatherings happening. I just heard in Bend, Hillsboro, Salem, all over the place, because we are gathering. We need to get organized, and folks are upset, enraged, and also ready to act. And we really need folks to step up with a little bit of their time and their ability to push back and make sure that we keep Oregon safe.
So that's at noon today in Terry Shrunk Plaza here in Portland. Now, I want to be respectful of your time. Are you able to hang around a little and take a couple calls?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's go to Molly. Molly, welcome to the Abe and Joe Show.
Yeah. Hey, Abe and Joe. I'm a little plug for the screen door and the great food that it has. But I just want to, as I was waiting in queue here in the line, Joe did bring up my point that I really wanted to make of the church behind all this and the men who are like in the image of God or something, and the church, you know, this is a big sin and all of that. Women are like a rib or something like that. But anyway, I think the basic thing is all these crazy guys with their evangelist ideas. They are God, and they have to enforce the will of God, and that, you know, this is a sin, and it has nothing to do with a woman and her choice and her life and her raising a child and all of that. So I think we really have to get below the men and their big power trip to the source of, you know, that religious fervor that's taking over Israel, like just so they can get back to where Christ was born or something like that. It's like lost complete control for the direction it's going. But it's that the religion trip is at the root of it, and it's been sending everyone, you know, astray for a long time here.
Yeah, yeah. Judeo-Christianity is the backbone of Western patriarchy. Absolutely true. Emily, sure. You have any thoughts on that?
I do just see that concept of really putting our opinions out there. These right-wing extreme politicians bringing, I think what you're referring to, this evangelical approach to healthcare. So absolutely, I think that it's incredibly infuriating, and that it's exactly what we've been saying for forever to, take the religion and the pushing of our own views on each other out of it. This is about healthcare and about individual decisions and individual autonomy.
Now, why should men be concerned about the bodily autonomy of women?
I think that, I mean, that's at the core of this. Everyone should have bodily autonomy.
yeah, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward.
Let's talk for another hour about bodily autonomy.
Yeah, I'm really
there's a lot there.
I'm really pleased to see though that angle is really prominently entering the discourse this time around in reaction to this new wave of bills, particularly online, where I've seen a number of people advance the argument. Well, if you're so in favor of impinging on women's bodily autonomy, maybe we ought to require vasectomies for each man as soon as they turn 18 years old.
Ouch!
Right. And of course, the logical follow-up to that is, no, that's unconscionable because a man's body should not be regulated in that way. Well, the same applies to women.
Yep, exactly. It's very interesting, the double standards that we're seeing put out there every single day.
Well, the patriarchy's bedrock is double standards, if we're going to be honest. Emily, I want to thank you for joining us today. I know you've got a lot on your plate, so thank you for taking the time to talk with us and to our listeners, and thank you for fighting the good fight.
Thanks so much for having me. We hope to see folks at noon.
All right. Thank you very much. Again, that rally today is at noon at Terry Schrunk Plaza in downtown Portland.
Yeah.
And elsewhere around Oregon. So check your local Planned Parenthood
website. Well, I think this is a movement that's happening all over the country. And mm-hmm. I think it's right to be concerned. One point I want to make is that when you put a fascist in office as president of the United States with his running mate, who is a weird kind of Christian, and I argue it's a weird kind of Christian, the inevitable is that it serves the interests of odd ideas of patriarchy and so forth. And you cannot pull away that from that. The fact of the matter is that we ended up with this weird guy who is ignorant of almost anything, but serves the interest, and this is where his power base lies, serves the interest of every reactionary force in the United States. It's not just about putting women, quote unquote, in their place. It's not just about banning abortion. It's not just about any one of the single things. It's in fact an attack on people of color. It's an attack on the poor. It's an attack on freedoms of all sorts. And this is going to go on and on and on until eventually, hopefully, people will wake up and the Congress will wake up and we will get rid of this horror. But right now, we're all essentially under attack by a madman. And I want to make that clear. A insane person.
Yeah, we can't lose sight of the fact that whenever rights are curtailed, whenever freedoms are curtailed, it is always poor folks and people of color who suffer disproportionately. As Emily mentioned, rich white conservative women are going to have no trouble getting an abortion if they want one, even if they live in one of these states that is banning it. There will be a way for them because they enjoy privilege. Those who do not ultimately end up suffering far more when things like this are enacted into law. But what I can't get my head around, and which has frustrated me for years and years about this topic, is this. We are a secular society, are we not, Joe?
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Show me where God appears in the Constitution.
Well, show me where freedom appears in the Constitution.
Well, I asked you first.
Oh. we hold these truths to be self-evident.
That's not the Constitution.
Declaration of Independence. Yeah. But the point is that the people who framed this Constitution were at least nominally believers in an Almighty. And that was then, this is now, and the fact of the matter is that that position that they took at that time was part of a magical idea set that came from way back and that justified, in fact, a revolution and the creation of a new nation.
Well, here's the thing about the framers of the Constitution. You know, slave owners and landowning white dudes that they were. Yes, most of them had at least a nominal belief in a creator of some kind, right? But nonetheless, they went to great pains to establish that in the United States of America, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion.
Well, that's
They're
a consequence.
Very, very clear on that
But
point.
That's a consequence of the experience of England, which is just not so long before the Constitution,
right.
Gone through a horrible civil war.
Now as antiquated and as clunky as our Constitution is now in the 21st century, that, the separation of church and state, is of absolute critical importance to any free society. Now, nowadays, you hear the forced child birth movement argue that we are a Christian nation, which, of course, is not true. Officially, we have no religion in our nation. We have the freedom to worship as you please, so long as that worship does not harm anybody else. That is freedom of religion. The flip side of that is that you are free, supposedly, from being persecuted by the tenets of somebody else's religion. That's what freedom of religion means. So when I hear the forced childbirth movement say, we are a Christian nation, what they mean is the majority of people of faith in the United States happen to be Christian. But that doesn't matter. Religious considerations should never be taken into account when formulating legislation. Never, ever, because it is unconstitutional to do so. What I'm getting at here is that nobody has any right, whether that their belief is founded on religion or on science or anything else, to tell a woman what she can and cannot do with her body. If men could get pregnant, there would be abortion clinics on every corner, and the morning after pill would come in assorted flavors. This is what I'm talking about. Bodily autonomy is at the heart of any conception of liberty in a free society, and we cannot countenance anything, any law, any regulation, any decision to impinge upon that freedom. It is a fundamental freedom.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, but I don't think a lot of people out there are really thinking about this in these terms. What they're being persuaded of is the image that Trump just used, what, a couple of weeks ago, about a baby being born, and after being born, after being separated from the mother, being murdered by a doctor. This is a fiction that he presented to a large crowd of raving lunatics that follow him.
Murdered. He used the word executed.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, no. I mean, the fictions that are being created, the horrible images that are being promulgated, are a deliberate effort to delegitimize the freedom of individuals, and particularly of women. And by the way, guys, if you want to live a life of relative freedom, you better be darn sure that the women who you are going to be with are going to be responsible people, as well as you being a responsible person.
Right, precisely. You know what's missing from all of this anti-abortion legislation that's coming out?
No, what?
Any consequences for the man, for the party who brought the sperm to the table. No consequences for that guy. Only for doctors and only for women.
Okay, are you going to read that?
I am going to read this thing right here.
He's going to read this thing.
This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM. Coming up this morning at 9, alternative radio host David Barsamian interviews Professor Ervand Abrahamian, apologies for pronunciation, author of Iran Between Two Revolutions, A History of Modern Iran and the Coup, 1953, the CIA, and the Roots of Modern U.S.-Iranian Relations. At 10, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, where he interviews four members arrested after the U.S. government raided the Venezuelan embassy. At 11 on Stage and Studio, D-May talks with Joanne Johnson and Jane Bement-Giesman, two of Portland's respected veteran actresses who are working together in Carol Churchill's Escaped Alone at Shaking the Tree Theater. And at 11:30, Peace Talks Radio talks to poets Kim Rosen and Sarah Wilkinson about how they use poetry to help foster world peace. All of that and more coming up today on KBOO.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of callers. Yep. Let's just go to the line.
Women stuff. Get to jump to the front of the line.
Yeah. Okay. Cheryl, you're next.
Yeah, good morning. Several things. One is, let's recall that at the time the Constitution was being formed, were there any women there? I don't think so. I don't remember that.
No women. No women.
No founding mothers.
Until Pat Schroeder came, and I believe it was in the mid to late 70s, there was not a woman in the Senate. And I think very few, if any, women at all in the Representative House. Okay, that's one. Two, Abe, you just made a point that I've discussed with you in the past, and it's just superlative in my mind as really something that needs to be talked about again and again and again. This does not happen by itself. Men must step up. And every time, it is always the woman's fault, no matter what happens, and that's wrong. It isn't. It takes two to tango, and we've got to get that sort of thinking that there is only a woman's responsibility in the situation off the boards. Men must step up. And the third thing that I want to say this morning is I am so pleased that finally this is coming to the fore. The case about religion being such a strong impact is important. However, they have their view and they have a right to that view. But to put that view on other women in whom I don't live in that body, you don't live in that body, she has to make the decision. It is her right by our governance now in law that women can make that choice. It must be protected. We cannot go backwards on this, so let's fight, fight, fight.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for the call.
Couldn't have said it better. Your religious freedom ends where my body begins. Period. Period. Let's go to Anne. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think I have a solution. All anti-abortion bills must include mandatory DNA testing and mandatory child support on the part of the fathers.
Wow.
Yes.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That will never get
there
anywhere, but it's a great idea.
And anybody who doesn't step up to his rights gets a mandatory vasectomy.
You know, if we're going to have equity in these sorts of bills, that would have to be the way you do it, right? The lack of any consequences for men in any of this legislation is really telling. It really tells you what this is all about when you get right down to it, doesn't it?
Exactly. Now, you can unclench. You guys are responsible. But there's a lot of guys out there, and the mandatory DNA testing will find them. That's all I got to say. True. Everybody else makes good points, and they're right. But there needs to be consequences across the board.
Agreed.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to take part in this conversation. You can also write to us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AbeAndJoe, or over the Twitter machine at HonestAbe72. Again, the fact that there are no consequences for the fathers in this forced childbirth legislation really, I think, shows the hand of the authors of this legislation. What is this all about when it comes right down to it? It's about punishing the slutty sluts for being slutty. If this was really about the sanctity of life, then men, fathers, would be held equally accountable by this legislation. They are not, which tells you all you need to know about what's really going on here. This is not about the sanctity of life. Let's go to Mike. Good morning.
Morning, KBOO.
How you doing?
Great. A couple days ago, I had the privilege of being able to stop and talk to Morgan out on the street on Hawthorne, and she was wearing one of the ACLU purple shirts, and I think she saw the Street Roots paper in my hand, and she came up to me thinking she could get some support, and she certainly did. Great people. I want to say that I did sign up to support ACLU at that time a couple days ago, and it it turned out it was a simple thing of $20 a month. I can do that. I'm very poor, but I can do that. So you see those purple shirts out there, people. You can put on one yourself, and this is just definitely a rallying cry of what's going on. And I could give a phone. I'm looking right now at an email that was like a confirmation response from the ACLU. Can I read the phone number and such?
Sure.
The website?
Sure.
All right, great. There's a website, www.aclu.org, and the local lady seems to be Claudia Hurtado. Hurtado.
Hurtado, yes.
Because she's saying, okay, she's going to be, you know, in the region. But she was getting feedback about this woman who was doing the canvassing, and you get recognition for that. And then the phone number is 212-549-2543.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. Phone number is 212-549-2543. And I guess that's ACLU, probably the national. So.
Yeah, that's the national number.
Well, thank you much for, right, very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you, KBU. And I'm hoping to give feedback to ACLU about this event and the organizers here locally. And hopefully they'll support that. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Thank you. I love that our listeners are so engaged and they're out there working on everyone's behalf.
I think, by and large, KBU has a very aware audience.
Oh, absolutely.
By and large.
Yeah, and you know, an excellent taste in talk radio, I might add. let's
right.
go to Anna next. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Well, 30 years ago, I was living around KPFA in Berkeley, California. Now I'm up here in Oregon. But 30 years ago, I was helping the people who wanted abortion protect them against the anti-abortionists at the clinics. That was 30 years ago. And then shortly after that, I found a bumper sticker that I've had on my this length of time. And it says, vasectomy prevents abortion.
It's true.
It's a simple bumper sticker. I recommend everybody get a bumper sticker like that. Find one, put it on your car, and let's see if we can get something rolling with this understanding of something very simple.
Snip, snip.
That's right. Hey, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, she's right. Vasectomy prevents abortion. I just want to put this out on the table right now. I myself had a vasectomy a few years ago. Decided I didn't want to have any more kids. But I want to tell you, I don't want to go into what happened in the actual procedure, but I will say that I didn't have to get anybody else's consent. I didn't have any sort of waiting period. I didn't have to sit there while an ultrasound was taken of my man parts. I didn't have to do any of the things that so much anti-abortion legislation has required of women seeking an abortion over the years.
I think that's really important.
It's really important. I went in, the procedure took less than an hour. I was in and out of there, no problem at all. It was a routine medical procedure entirely governed and dictated by my choice to undergo it. And that was never challenged at any point in the entire, at any point at all.
Yeah, at this point, I want to repeat the planned event today at the mm-hmm. Terry Shrunk Plaza.
Yep.
That's at noon?
At noon.
And I hope that a lot of people, you know, it's lunchtime. Take some time off to go to this thing. Let the voice of the people be heard. We are in a real crisis, and I think it's a crisis of fascism, and I think it's very real, and I think the clown in charge is more than a clown. He is the tool of incredible reactionary forces. So this is an event which is important to you to make your voice heard and to make all of us understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. This issue of bodily autonomy and freedom is so important to what we cherish about life in America. Now, that's a little bit grandiose. But it's true. It really doesn't get much more fundamental when you're talking about human liberty. And if you want to look at it a different way, historically, one of the reasons, for example, that no women were involved in the drafting of the U.S. Constitution, just to pick one historical example out of so many, is that their lives were not allowed to grow large enough to encompass that sort of behavior, that sort of endeavor. As women, they were expected to be subservient to their husbands and to bear them many healthy children, preferably healthy sons. That was their job. Now, as we have progressed, as we have expanded the circle of freedom to include more and more people with every generation, we have grappled with this notion of what exactly are women on this earth? Why are they? What are they here to do? And the answer, fortunately, I'm so thankful for this, and we all should be thankful for this. The answer is whatever they want to do. And a principal component of that is being able to have command of, mastery over their own bodies, and to decouple themselves from that historical legacy of forced childbirth again and again and again. They are now allowed, women are allowed in our society to define themselves in terms of who they are, how intelligent they are, what they want to do for a living, and what they're able to achieve under their own steam. That is progress. And any threat to bodily autonomy puts this in danger. And you know what, men? If women's bodily autonomy is put in danger, then yours is vulnerable too. This is everybody's fight. And that's why you should all go downtown today at noon and take part in this rally.
Yeah, that's at Terry Schrunk Plaza at noon. Don't forget this. This is important. If you can't do that, do another thing and another thing and another thing. We are in a crisis, and this clown is a representative of a bunch of reactionary thought and reactionary intent and reactionary politics. It's not a joke anymore. It's really serious. It's really dangerous, and it really will affect you. Hey, we're running out of time. We have, what, 8 minutes?
Yeah, we still got some time. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Again, we'd really love to hear from our women listeners on this topic. Women get to go right to the front of the queue.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
That is an arbitrary decision made by me, the co-host of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Speaking of autonomy, there it is, right there. So as we've been talking all morning, and as Emily McLean mentioned, this is something that requires all of us to push back against this. We cannot leave this to the people of Alabama or the people of Georgia or the people of Missouri to handle on their own. This is something that touches all of us. This is about basic notions of human freedom. This is about the basic concept of a free secular society. This is, as I said just a moment ago, this is everybody's fight.
Well,
we need all hands on deck.
Absolutely. And when you think, you know, oh, Trump is so funny, he has a fetish against windmills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he has a fetish against women.
Oh, he does.
Absolutely.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Look at his whole history and his whole experience. And what we think of is funny when he talks about abusing women. It's not funny. It's not funny at all. It's indicative of a kind of crazy male mentality.
Of patriarchy.
Yeah. And yeah. This is something that we all of us, must deal with now, right now. And we must be prepared to deal with it into the future, because this is the spearhead of an incredible reactionary fascist effort to take over and change the nature of the United States.
That's right. Now, I'm willing to bet, I don't know all the details of Donald Trump's private life, nor do I care to, but a man who has been wealthy his whole life, who has lived in the public eye most of his adult life, and who has so publicly and so publicly boasted about sowing his oats as a young man, I am willing to bet that at one point in his life, a female partner of Donald Trump's has terminated her pregnancy. I would wager that that has been the case. And I would also wager that Donald Trump was just fine with that.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I have no idea. But
I think it's a pretty safe bet, don't you? The point I'm trying to make...
Well, how would I know?
The point I'm trying to make is that bodily autonomy is a good thing for all involved, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman.
You know, we can safely know by his talk that Trump is an opportunist and a sexist. As to what else goes on in his life, I don't care and I don't want to know, frankly. It's all very disgusting.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. If you want to learn more about the rally taking place in Portland today, just go Google Stop the Bans. There are abortion protests going on all over the country today. In fact, the ACLU is calling it the Stop the Bans Day of Action. Locally here in Portland, as we mentioned, Noon and Terry Schrunk Plaza. That is right in downtown Portland. And we're hoping everybody can turn out for that today.
I have to say that I get very, very depressed about what's going on in our politics. But this is an event which should draw people into action. This is an example of the consequence of having this clown fascist as president. And it ought to be something that enables people to get off their you-know-whats and do something about the situation.
And also, obviously, rallying in the street is a good way to support this movement. And writing to legislators, not just here in Oregon, but in the states that are enacting these bans. Let them know that in the internet era, we have the means to target them. We have the means to give money to their political opponents. And that if they are going to get behind oppressive, and that's what this is, oppressive legislation, then we have the power to fund their opponents. Don't think that your reach or that your influence is confined to what's going on here in Oregon. Let's go back to the phones. Susan is next. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Susan. Just a couple comments. One is to thank the gentleman that had called in just a little bit ago who was selling street roots but was able to find a way to afford to support the ACLU. So I just want to say thank you. It's not always easy to do that if you don't have a lot of money, but I think he's an inspiration to us all to find that space to support the ACLU. The other thing I would just comment on it would be the use of the term forced childbirth. I understand where that's coming from, but I would suggest forced pregnancy. Because it doesn't play into, like, oh, this is a child, you know, and an anti-choice focus on that. I would focus it back on the woman by really calling it forced pregnancy. And I like that term, but I was a little concerned about the use of the other term. And then the other term I use is really, and I've heard you say this, pregnancy termination. And again, I like to use that even rather than abortion because, again, it focuses back on the woman's body. So I tend to call it personal choice pregnancy termination. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Blake. Blake, good morning. What's on your mind?
I actually just wanted to expand the conversation a little bit, especially in response to the bumper sticker of being vasectomies prevent abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say homosexuality prevents abortion as well.
Yeah, very few unwanted pregnancies amongst the gay and lesbian community.
Exactly.
So, yes, lifestyle choices. Yeah, no, I kid. Was that all? Do you have any more thoughts?
That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call, Blake. Yeah, I appreciate it.
On a more, serious note, this is a threat to all of us, whether we're male or female, whether we're gay or straight. This is part and parcel of a larger fascist movement that is taking hold all over the country, exploiting ignorance, exploiting essentially religiosity. It's not about religion, it's about religiosity. And this is a movement that is enabling the clown fascist to continue on his merry, merry way, as we, all of us, are in danger of losing our rights and losing our sense of morality.
That's true. This is one of the levers he can pull on to make sure that his base supports nobody but him. Yeah, there is a deep cynicism, I think, around Donald Trump's support of this thing. Because by all indications, he himself is not a religious man. Never has been.
And in fact, at one time in his life, he was saying that abortion was okay.
Right. For reasons we can only speculate about.
Well, I don't want to speculate about it. I think the point is that he's an ultimate opportunist. But beyond that, this is a serious, serious effort that cannot be dismissed. Just because he's a clown, just because he's stupid, doesn't make him not a dangerous fascist. And we need to remember that. So, Go to Terry Strunk Plaza at noon today. Do what you can to make sure that you express your support for women's rights and women's reproductive rights. This is a time when you cannot be silent and when you should not be silent. So this show is really about that.
Indeed.
And I want to thank people for supporting us and for supporting KBOO and for supporting women's reproductive rights.
Absolutely. If you live outside the Portland area, if you Google Stop the Bans Oregon, you'll get a nice list of rallies taking place in municipalities all over the state. So I'd like to echo what you said, Joe. Thank you to our listeners. We couldn't be here without you, and we really appreciate your support. And we'll be back at you next week.
From the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
This is Alyssa Pariah, your friendly neighborhood agitator, the host of The Struggle, every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. Listen to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM, and online at kboo.fm. The Struggle is where organizers and activists doing good in the community come to discuss their work, to get you to support them, maybe even join them. Remember The Struggle, every Friday, 7 to 8 p.m., KBOO Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a discussion entitled Islamophobia and White Nationalism in Oregon and the World on Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland. In Oregon, as in other places, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, and Islamophobia have intersected to perpetuate white supremacist and white nationalist ideology. This panel discussion will explain those connections and will offer tools that individuals and communities can employ to help stop the spread of hate culture. Again, that is a discussion on Islamophobia and white nationalism in Oregon and the world on Tuesday, May 28th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Historical Society, 1200 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10, it's Flashpoints. Dennis Bernstein interviews four members arrested after the U.S. government raided the Venezuelan embassy. And at 11,